I think a little fool's gold as you talk about what Stern said after the before the game, his take on the team and the trade deadline. We'll get back to that stuff here. I have a Nick note as well. First up, though, time for the meat of the order. For the Yankees last night, not a whole lot. Yankees only had one run, scratched out five hits. I mean, 12 strikeouts is what drives you nuts. Rough one for Goldschmidt. So he's still in the meat of the order. So you look at Judge at the two spot, 0 for 3. I do not like Jazz Chisholm batting. I just didn't like this lineup at all. Jazz Chisholm batting third. Now, he did have a hit. Stanton went yard. He's been swinging the bat really well since he came back. So he did a little, he did the only damage, actually. Dominguez, Collar, 0 for 4 with a whiff. And Goldschmidt, 1 for 4. So that's the meat of the order. When you're looking for the meat for your order, choose Boar's Head. Committed to craft since 1905. Now, I was thinking about this, and I'll give you my answers. I wanted to try to find a few Mets. All right, let me do this on the fly here. So are those the two that I want? I've got those two. Yeah, I guess I'll do that. All right, so let me just pop on the Mets box score from last night. As I was looking at the research, you know, for the meat of the order that we just did there, I'm like, all right, so right now Aaron Judge dipped below 350, all right? Nothing to really get alarmed at, but, I mean, because, I mean, still hitting 349. But if I asked you, does Aaron Judge, who just dropped below that interesting benchmark, does he finish above 350? What's your answer? My answer is yes. My answer is fairly confident, yes. If I ask you, and I'm just kind of taking, cherry-picking guys who are, you know, just drop below a certain, I don't know, neighborhood that I find interesting. Goldschmidt, drop below 290. He's at 289. Do you think he finishes the year at 290? No. To me, that's almost as easy as Judge. Maybe easier. All right, so let me find a couple of interesting Met ones here. All right, here we go. Finally popped up. All right. Maybe I'll save Soto for last. Pete. Yeah, Pete's dropping like a rock with the... I mean, listen, no surprise with the average because we've talked about that so much over the years. But he's down to 273. So for Pete, do I think that he finishes above 270? No. I don't. Who else is interesting here? Lindor. I just don't know if he's healthy, so he's really tough to read now. I say Lindor's Hoff perks up back there. He just raised his fist like a lunatic. Let's see. He's at 248. Do I think Lindor finishes the year higher than 260? I think that that's a fair neighborhood. I'm going to say yeah. Little hesitantly because I just don't know if he's healthy. I'll say yeah, and not by a ton, but yes. And then we'll end up with Soto. Soto, 250. I know the power's there, but he's at 256. Does Soto hit higher than 270 this year? And my answer is no. I think he's mid 260s with obviously great power numbers. Anyway, what the heck do I know? I'm just throwing darts there, but some statistical stuff. All right, 888-808-1019. The Nick note, and we'll get these calls here. So Hoff comes in. He's like, I don't know if you'd be interested in this. He's like, but there's a Nick note pertaining to the coaching staff. I'm like, of course I'm interested. And then I heard the name. I'm like, what? If you gave me, I'm not exaggerating. If you gave me 100 names, maybe 200, and I know that this gentleman's a coach. I know that. And you asked me, all right, guess who the Knicks just asked for and received permission to talk to as a coach? Pablo Prigioni. That's the name. That's the answer to the question. T-Wolves, you know? He's actually highly thought of. Pablo Prigioni. I mean, when the hell was the last time you thought about him? Pablo Prigioni. So the fact that Minnesota granted the request, obviously, the Knicks will now hire him. And to be clear, Hoff, just so you and I buttoned up with this, it's not for the lead assistant necessarily. It's for a place on Mike Brown's staff, correct? I think that's what, yeah, you go. So, all right, little Nick note for you. Back to the calls, 888-808-1019. Let me get, how about Joey Clams in Brooklyn? Randazzo's Joey, what's
ABT.
Up?
ABT.
Joey.
How you doing?
Good,
hopefully
Joe.
I see you by the Metropolitan Cigar Lounge in Edgewater this year after a Jet game or come there. It's beautiful over there. Nice to smoke a cigar like a gentleman. Have a bourbon.
I like it. Listen, I like Edgewater. I'm a big fan. I've been to some nice restaurants down there. I lived too far from there years ago, so I got you.
Oh, yeah. Metropolitan Cigar Lounge. Beautiful. Listen, the Yankees never fixed what they were bad last year. The 5-6 hole and up the middle. And it's the same thing. You had a chance to get a third baseman in the offseason. Could have gave the same thing the Red Sox gave. A 3-year contract would they give to Bregman. And you could have solved your problem. And number one. Number two is you got a manager. He's a red sweater away from being Mr. Rogers.
Oh,
that coaching staff is soft. Where's the Yankee blood in that coaching staff, BT?
Yeah.
Where's the old Yankees there that will grab a kid like Volpe and tell him what to do? Or Willie Randolph on that bench would have told him, helped him out, would have helped the Gleyber Torres. They don't help nobody. There's guys on that staff with backup third stringers as seniors when they were on the JV. Come on, man. And Concepcion was on the big red machine shortstop. Very underrated. Look at his numbers.
No,
another
I don't.
Thing, BT.
No, I don't.
Winfield was better. What infield was better, the 2009 Yankee infield or the big red machine infield?
Oh, the big red machine from the 70s. So you got Morgan, you got Concepcion. Was that Ray Knight at third? Perez. I know Pete bounced around, Pete Rose. Versus the 2009 Yankee infield. Tex, Cano, Jeets. I mean, it's the Yankees. I remember, and I believe that this is true. I don't think this is just something like I think I heard or I heard and it wasn't correct. I think that Concepcion was like the inventor of let me throw it on a short hop on the carpet because it's going to get there quicker to Perez than like from the hole, you know, where he would use the turf and that turf back then, like in Philly, at the Pirates with the Phillies, with the Pirates, with the Reds, the Astrodome, that turf was like a rock. So you can just kind of fire it off there. And some players will do that now and try to give the first baseman like a long hop. And if you do that, it's pretty effective. It's proven fit, like from a physics perspective, that it gets there quicker. But no, Concepcion didn't hit a whole lot. And the thing about Bregman, and I'm seeing a lot of red on Baseball Savant, which obviously means good stuff. But you remember when there was the flirtation with Boston, and a lot of the things that you heard was, well, he's a great profile for Fenway Park, and he is, right? And listen, I'm not saying I wouldn't have taken him because he's a great fielder. He's proven postseason. Everything that you know about Bregman. But the one thing that he doesn't do at all is have any power the other way. He pulls it all. And I'm looking at his spray chart right now. And he's literally got, this is actually even more amazing than I thought. He's got 4 extra base hits. 4. It's basically August here. 4 from center field wall to the right field foul pole. He's got 1 home run to dead center. He's got 1 double to right center. He's got a home run that just cleared the fence in right center. And he's got a double that's right off the pesky pole, 302 down the line. That's it. So when you say, well, what does that mean? It means what we told you before he signed with the Red Sox, that he's probably a better fit for the Red Sox than he would be at Yankee Stadium. That's all it means. John's in Brooklyn. What's up, John?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call. Really appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. What's going on?
So where do I start? I feel that this it's just the organization's approach to offense is just, it's not working. The constant changing of the lineup. They have no leadoff hitter. I mean, how many times are we going to see a man on second and third and Volpe popping up the short right? You know, my brother and I have a joke. How do you stop the Yankees from scoring? Put men on base. I mean, it's just,
It's the same with the Mets. Mets don't hit with guys on base at all.
I mean, yesterday, you know, Toronto scores 4 runs in the bottom of the fifth. This is not even a lie. 4 runs in the bottom of the fifth. I turn around, the top of the sixth starts. I turn around and tell my daughter, my 5-year-old something, sweetie, put that down. You're going to break it.
Mm-hmm.
I turn around at the television. The second out was being recorded. I said, what just happened?
Yeah.
It's just a boring approach. There's no urge. The Toronto put the ball in play. They don't strike out. Okay, a couple of errors. You're not going to make an error if the ball's not put in play. I mean, if I hear Michael Kay say, swing and a miss one more time, I'm going to be like, I mean, this is just, and who are you going to put in shortstop? You have nobody.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You're stuck with Volpe.
That's why you're not sending them down. No, that's not an option.
There's nothing you can do. And
Yep, go ahead.
There's no leadoff batter. Yep. We have no consistency in the leadoff spot. You know what? Put Volpe at the leadoff spot. What the heck? Have Judge bat second. Maybe Volpe will get some pitches to hit.
I mean, they've tried that, though. And that, yeah, I mean, I know. Truth of the matter is, if, like, there was more evidence statistically that, you know, if Volpe just had more, you know, success and he was just in a crazy funk, I think it's almost more justifiable. Like, you know what? Hey, we've seen enough before. Put him in a one hole. Let him get some fastballs from Judge. Now, the problem is, it mitigates the run game. Although they had, who stole last night when Judge was up? Was that Peraza? I think it was Peraza. He had a two-hopper up the middle, and they kept it in the infield. And I do think he, and I remember Kay even saying, like, well, there's no way you'd send, yeah, it was Peraza. There's no way you'd send them here, because then they'll just intentionally walk Judge. I mean, nobody walks Judge like the Toronto Blue Jays. And then the Yankees like, yeah, we're going to steal a base. Now, amazingly, they didn't walk him there, which is bizarre. Unless they just loved the match with Gausman and it wound up working out, you know, seven or eight fastballs, he kept fouling them off. And then it was a splitter that didn't drop at all that he should have crushed. And he knew it, that he should have hit over the fence and he popped it up. So I just sometimes I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what they're doing. I just don't. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And the caller said too, John brought up about like, was that Clams? I forget. This is somebody calls today. So many problems right now. Everything's blending into one. About, you know, where's the Yankee blood in the dugout? You know, and I've never really looked at it that way. But if you actually think about it, it's an interesting statement. Like, the Yankees have always had some level of carryover from former Yankees. You know, whether it was Lou Piniella as the manager, whether it was, of course, Billy Martin, Buck was a minor league teammate of Don Mattingly. You know, Torrey didn't play for the Yankees, played for the Mets, but obviously a New York kid from Brooklyn, Marine Park. I mean, I don't know. Mattingly was the hitting coach. Willie was the third base coach. And I never really put a lot of stock in that. But if we keep saying, like, you know, we don't like their approach and they just tolerate so much, I don't know. You know who I'd like to see? But he just doesn't want to do the job, because when you make that much money as these players, even though they've been retired for a while, you invest just with an ounce of intelligence. You are. You got multiple generations set, even if you didn't make $400 million. I would love to see somebody like Posada on the bench. Is that not the guy? I'm not even saying he's the manager. As a coach, Jorge Posada? I'll take it. He's just very bland. 888-808-1019. Okay. Hoff, how's the responses to the Lindor stuff? A little mixed bag. Just be a thumbs up. Thumbs up meaning engagement, or thumbs up meaning people think that it was a good point out of you? Both? Both?
He says it's a great point.
It's a great point, yep. I was telling him too, because it's funny. Sometimes you're doing this and you just say something and kind of mess around. Like, I didn't really fully mean it, but I wanted to just throw names at him. Now, I may have met Robin Yount, and obviously Jeter's ridiculous, but I threw Trammell at him. And when I started in radio, one of my early, early jobs, 2001, whatever, I'm working in Detroit doing middays. It was like my first real opportunity, first big, big look in radio. And I don't know, for some reason, I decided to turn this into an anti-travel Hall of Fame candidacy thing in Detroit. And I think because he was like really up, it was hotly. I didn't just pull it out of nowhere. And now I'm like, there's no way this guy's a Hall of Famer. Stop. He had three, four good seasons. And now as Hoff is throwing his stuff about Lindor, I'm like, well, Trammell was better. Yeah, whatever fits the moment. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.